Well, hello and welcome to After the Sermon, a podcast that we do here specifically to help us dive deeper into Sunday message and to wrestle some of those hard topics. Man, I never thought this would be a hard topic we would be wrestling, but we're going to do it and we're going to do it well. I know, Thad, this Sunday you are going to be sharing with us just a framework for kind of the journey God took you through, the calling that you feel from the Lord. So why don't you just share with us a little bit of that framework, and then we'll get into the heart stuff, because you know that's the part that I like the
best. Absolutely. Yep. So I think it's good, maybe start just a little bit of heart stuff into the framework is this is hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, this is confusing. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, through the podcast and particularly on Sunday morning, I hope to be able to sit with the people and, you know, my heart would be as they see more of the story, more of the journey, that it might give comfort to their heart and allow some relaxation of the pain that they may have. That would be a great thing. I know that would bring some joy to me in the challenge. But I think we have to acknowledge that this is a hard situation. And if people out there are struggling and working through emotions, or even from the wedding conference, that soul, you know, our soul wounds that we receive, and how do we acknowledge these things that can also lead to our emotions as well? I think those things will be good.
I mean, I know that I have talked to a few ladies who are children of divorce, and they are very aware that just this news has stirred up some of those same feelings. Mm-hmm. And so as much as that's hard, there's a part of me that's excited that we serve a God that wants to heal those wounds. So even in our pain, that can be happening.
Yeah. And it's interesting that we were provided language right here at this beginning to maybe even be able to constructively talk about those things that maybe we didn't have before. And with that wedding conference being so well attended, many people have that language to be able to communicate it. Mm-hmm. So that's maybe God having a little providential hug. I love you. Mm-hmm. Here, let me help in this. Mm-hmm. Something though, here at the outset that I do want to kind of get out there too is often in transitions like this, there's kind of this default mechanism, and we as human beings have this. We always go to something like a cynicism or it's okay, you're leaving. What's wrong?
Yeah, sure.
What's really the issue?
Clearly, somebody has done something, and that there's no grievance, there's no wrongdoing. Mm-hmm. Things were going very positive with a message. I plan on just kind of walking through positive relationships, walking through wonderful things that we've seen, because truly, just an amazing dynamic. And I really, it's really been amazing what God has done. So one, you know. And this is just one of those things like, so we know that this impacts us because we care for one another. It's been amazing to me in many different ways, but as God, through this weird COVID dynamic and how he's brought us together, how we've walked through these things together, I think that's enhanced our relationships, maybe even further and more quickly than even in other times. Mm-hmm. And so I think God has done great things, far more than you can imagine, but he's also cemented relationships, which makes this even harder. But I just wanted to be clear that, you know, and I've had a few conversations where people are just, I think with good hearts, but just fearful that, was there something wrong? Did someone do something? No, they didn't. We as a family, we as people within this body, we're an extremely positive place. Great relationships. You know, you see me and this guy playing around all the time. I mean, I still go back to one of the relationships that I mentioned was like, so remember that Sunday morning? What was the Sunday morning? So this Sunday morning, I'm sitting up here and David and Tyler comes out from behind the scenes and like give me that weird groping hug from the back. That was totally uncomfortable.
That was a life-changing moment.
And so but you know, those are beautiful moments. They don't, you don't fake that, right? That's real.
Right.
You know, those are beautiful moments of relationships and joy and camaraderie and just, you know, on a Sunday morning, I come walking out of those double doors going from the offices in here and, you know, and you see, individuals where you're giving fist bumps and hugging and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And some of these phone calls, I still got to turn. You know, those things aren't fake. Those are real dynamics and those are real relationships. Mm-hmm. And again, you hope that every pastor has that with his people. But, you know, given everything, I think that strain and that struggle just kind of pressed us together even more. So anyways, I'm supposed to stay on point here.
And say,
there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong, right? This is God's doing. So I want to clear that up.
Well, and I want to say there's nothing wrong. I mean, we need to see there isn't anything wrong. We love one another. This is hard. The fact that it's hard shows the love that we have for one another. Yeah. You know?
Well, you know, and I call you Tamila all the time.
You do, right? And just who's because it's call one, me that?
Who's gonna call you Tamila, right?
I
got the girls in here. I call them the Wonder Twins. Yeah. You know, all of that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's good. You know, and I won't say all the things that David and I do, right? This is, but it's just
we will spare you.
It's just fun. Okay, and just as we're just kind of sharing some stories here, right? So. You know, what do you call the guy from the David Letterman show, the guy in the background, right? So Josh is sitting right over here, mm-hmm. right? What a relationship that Josh
Paul
and
Schaefer?
I have.
Yeah. Was it Paul Schaefer?
Well, Josh and I talk about, we talk about faith and religion, but we talk about politics. And I talk about, you know, Josh is a little bit younger than me. Josh helped me to see certain things. Mm-hmm. And then we have such trust that when I go to him with my final sermon slides and things like that, you know, I was like, okay, Josh, where you know this is going to be better and how to change this to make it more visually impactful and all that, you do it and mm-hmm. I'll just correct it, whatever in my notes. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. what an incredible relationship and trust to be able to do that and talk and have fun and talk Star Wars and just all kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, I had someone ask me, I think, right, this came out, is do you think he felt like he was unable to do what he felt like I was called him to do? Mm-hmm. Or was there something that was limiting him and he got frustrated? And I said to that person, you know, behind the scenes, I think one of the coolest things I've been this year is seeing all the things that I remember him talking about in his first interviews that he felt like mm-hmm. God was already leading him to be a part of a Bethany and to help accomplish a Bethany, and how, and you made the statement, how almost all of those, if not all of those initially you spoke of that you felt God was calling you to do, have happened in just this first year in some amazing ways.
And that's a beautiful, that is one of the things that does help me to be able to say, okay, God, maybe, you know, this is your calling, because I do see, now there's still much that needs to be completed, right? Mm-hmm. But so many of those things that as I was coming in, I was seeing, talking with elders, talking with staff, these are transition, these are changes, these are tweaks here and there mm-hmm. that need to happen. Man, those things have happened. Mm-hmm. I was in here just this last Sunday. Worship's going on, just a powerful set. And the thought kind of, and you know, I saw some lights, I saw some mm-hmm. different things. And the thought hit me. I was like, okay, so if you were to come in and sit in the service mm-hmm. and sit in the service when I first got here, how different would that have felt?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And we had a contemporary, beautifully, very differently structured worship set, you know, had a beautiful hymn in there that just brought tears, right? Mm-hmm. All this kind of stuff. So it's just this dynamic where, man, mm-hmm. this is, God has really done some things. I mean, even down to the things like, you know, getting our signage approved.
Yeah.
That was a big thing. You know, when I came here, when I came here, everybody said, what's the deal with the 1970s Baptist church sign out front? You know, why don't we have signage on the building, right? And we're like, oh, you know, we just can't do that. You can't do that.
We haven't gotten to it yet.
Yeah. And so, you know, there were some very energized people to go get that done, and they got it done. And it just, I don't know. So it's just, there was nothing wrong. I was allowed to do and have influence, mm-hmm. and even more so, mm-hmm. I was allowed, and this is one of the beautiful things about being a pastor, I was allowed to let other people be released to be who they are, mm-hmm. to bring their gift sets to the table, and to see them grow and just do amazing things. And that is glorious. You know, like, you know, and who knows if, you know, if I disappear from the timeline, mm-hmm. okay. But I do feel like I was able to come in, if nothing else, to allow other people to become themselves in ministry and to grow and evolve. And I think you two guys in some ways are pictures of that.
I absolutely agree. I mean, I know for me, you saw things in me that I didn't even know about myself. And just really believing we're better together as a staff to put David and I together and what we've been able to do. You've done such a good job that we're going to miss you, mm-hmm. but I think we can promise our body that we're probably going to do it without a hiccup because you have empowered us to do our jobs yeah. well. So,
and think about how,
sorry about that.
think about how fun it is. Mm-hmm. You know, for a pastor, mm-hmm. a couple of sermons ago, you and Glenna, I can't remember which one it was, but it must have been something about relationships or something, mm-hmm. because you guys brought something to the table that I would have completely missed. Mm-hmm. The idea of talking about as a preaching team and praying about different things, mm-hmm. and how, for goodness sakes, our Easter series,
mm-hmm. yeah,
right. was originally stemming from the idea Glenna had.
That's right. Right. Yeah.
Your Easter series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
What an incredible mm-hmm. dynamic to see all of that happen. Mm-hmm. You know, and then to see some of our young staff, because Tammy, you come in this position. I mean, you did have quite a bit of experience, right? You know,
reading studies and stuff like that.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. you had experience, maybe not that kind of full time, but you know, mm-hmm. you know, I think about some of our awesome youngins coming in, right? Mm-hmm. That are just incredible potential and already doing just an amazing job. Mm-hmm. But it's so fun to see them come in and bring mm-hmm. their gift sets and to see them just start nailing it already. Anyways, I'm going to keep going.
We need to keep going. Because what I want you to hear, if you're watching, I know we've been doing this a little longer. We're a little bit farther on the journey.
Yeah.
I'm afraid you're hearing this and hearing happiness and knowing that mm-hmm. you're still feeling pain. And so we want to
that was the next
acknowledgement. Yeah, that's where we need to go is help people understand that we have felt pain too.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, you're a human being. Mm-hmm. And going back a little bit, you know, we have these relationships and so it's painful. Mm-hmm. It's confusing, mm-hmm. right? And my encouragement would be, you know, allow yourselves to have those feelings. Give those feelings to God and talk with others about those feelings, because mm-hmm. that is a way in which to slowly move towards healing and even further recognition. But don't try to bottle those down. Don't try mm-hmm. to hold those, mm-hmm. man, because that would be unhealthy for you.
Well, and I equate it to I think it was one of our elders that said this, and I appreciated him when he said it. Is you know, Tammy, you just alluded to, you know, mm-hmm. we felt pain.
I still feel pain.
Yes. Right. That's exactly right.
The Kleenexes are here because I probably will cry.
Yeah. And I've seen it in Thad's eyes even as we have talked. Mm-hmm. And although we still feel pain, there is a grieving and a celebration, often like what you might find when you go to a memorial service that is mm-hmm. God blessed, because you know the hope that we have in Christ, mm-hmm. they're celebrations. Wow, morning. Mm-hmm. And I feel like even right now, for just to get a heart of us, I think this is a great example of wow, morning. We celebrate life. Mm-hmm. We celebrate what God has done.
So sorrowful yet always rejoice.
There is not an absence of sorrow, but in sorrow there's a hope. Mm-hmm. And the hope is not ignorant, because mm-hmm. the hope is in who Christ is. Mm-hmm. The hope is in who we know in each other. Mm-hmm. The hope is in the love that we have together, mm-hmm. and the centrality of what Christ did and what God is doing. Mm-hmm. But it's still sad, and we grieve, and we mourn, and mm-hmm. and I think the beauty of those two coming together, don't miss that those two are still coming together, and certain
they're not
ones
mutually exclusive.
No, and certain ones pop out more at mm-hmm. different times, and so to have permission to know you're going to walk that, we're all walking that, and it will feel like this sometimes, and you might look at someone, and we alluded to this beforehand. Mm-hmm. To be careful not to look at someone that's at a different place than you are mm-hmm. and feel like that somehow they're at a wrong place or that you're at a wrong place. Mm-hmm. Neither of those are true. We're all at our different places as we're walking this, and that will change and we'll be at different places. That's the beauty of how God's made us in our uniqueness, but also the beauty of how God designed us as a body in our unique giftings to support each other, love each other, mm-hmm. care for each other. And you've supported me, I've supported you, and it's right back forth with Thad and I as well in our uniqueness as a body. And I think that's important to remember.
It's the roller coaster because, you know, Tammy was worried about my tears, and here I am talking about walking through the hallways on a Sunday morning. She almost got me.
Well, it's my goal to make you cry. I mean, I think the purpose of this for me is for those who are watching to see our love for one another and realize there's not a hidden thing happening. For you to see our love for you, specifically for you to see Thad's love for you. And to realize we all are going to do this different, and permission to mm-hmm. grieve differently and give one another grace as, you know, as we're doing it. So with that being said, I would love because you've been doing this longer, and you're a thinker, not a feeler. Mm-hmm. I've, you know, cried a ton in front of you.
Or even. Maybe I'm such a feeler, I've learned to compartmentalize.
There you go. Yeah. You know,
because I'm uncomfortable. So, yeah. I look at David, I'm uncomfortable.
I would love for our people to just hear a tiny bit about your journey, to know, for them to know you love them like I know that you love them.
Yeah. So, let me say this. So when I framed the sermon, I did talk about Moses. I do want to be clear that the one reason why I chose Moses was because it's a unique place where God really pulled back the curtain and showed the struggle and the calling. It wasn't one of those moments where God said, do this, and the person just jumps up and just does it.
Hey, Samuel.
Yeah. There was a struggle there. And so to get past that, let me slide through on my notes here, because I want to make sure to kind of walk through this right. Because like you, I wanted to share not necessarily all of the process, but just these meaningful moments where it really got kind of challenging and struggling. And it really was a struggle throughout. But God calls us when we come through these challenges, right, to be present and available and obedient, present with Him and available and obedient. And again, trying not to go through all of the process, but talking about the struggle moments. I remember even the struggle of even trying to, it's going to sound weird, but even trying to listen to God in that moment, because I was in a bit of denial, you know? Some of this I'm going to share on Sunday morning, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to get into all of it, but there was this moment for me where I was purposely, you know, like not listening. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of pushing this away because no, God, I'm happy. Mm-hmm. I'm content. Things are going well. You know, I'm thinking a week ago, right? How many of those membership devotional booklets of people coming in, and people who are in their 60s and 70s, and people who are in their 20s, I mean, just all over the map, God doing some awesome things here, right? So I'm content. My family is we just got this new home out in Holman, and man, I even got new animals. Right, because we're out there in the country and all this kind of stuff. And so
it's
weird.
A good thing you have them, because I think they're going to be therapy animals.
Yeah,
for your
no doubt. And so it's just this dynamic where we were so excited about making our home here, right? I guess this is where I'm kind of going. It's like, no, God, you wouldn't be changing this. It's just totally outside of what most people would consider normative, even in the ministry. And look at all this good. Mm-hmm. Look at all these awesome things. And so I just really struggled and was very resistant to any kind of intrusion on that, on moving or transitioning being a possibility. With respecting some of my, on my own family's privacy, I do want to share a couple little things there, and I will keep coming back to me, but just to talk about relationships, like, so even as early as last night, Eden went to a youth function, and she loves Gracie to death. Gracie's one of her mentors. Mm-hmm. So Eden comes home last night, and everybody's having fun, joyous, and they're catching toads or something in my yard and whatever, and just having this fun moment. And Gracie's in the house, and we're like, "Hey, Gracie," you know, having all this fun. And so Gracie leaves to go back home, and we put the two little ones to bed. And as I'm walking back into the living room, you know, Eden's just starts breaking down. Rachel comes to me, "I'm going to sleep with Eden tonight." You know, it's just another, you know, these ups and downs and waves of emotions, right? And so it's very soul wrenching to be a part of this. Another story with Carter. So Carter goes to her school once our video was released this week, and she says to her friends, "I'm leaving." And so there's this emotional pain there. And I think it was very telling. And when she was telling, and the reason why she was telling me this is because I had to get on to her at the table for being rude to Rachel. And so we go back to the back and we're talking about this disciplinary. And she says, "Take it easy on me, Dan. You know, I've had a hard day." Well, and she said these types of things before. And
I'm
was
fragile,
like,
Dad.
Yeah. But tell me about your hard day. And she starts talking about, "Well, today's the day I told my friends that I was going to be leaving." Mm-hmm. And she goes, "It's not me. It's not my mommy and daddy. It's Jesus." And I'm like, "Dang, kid." Mm-hmm. Because Carter has watched the struggle that Rachel and I have had in this. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, here's this 8-year-old who gets it. Mm-hmm. It's not her. She's not wanting to leave. in the sense of it's just, she's seen Rachel and I wrestle with this. And then she says, but it's Jesus. Now, and I tried to help her understand Jesus ultimately wants what all of our good is, but she behind the scenes has seen this struggle, has heard some of these conversations, has been a part of how we've walked this. And I was like, my goodness, in that moment of transparency and just
almost childlike naivety. And when she says that, there's not bitterness, like it's Jesus, like there's a surrender that her little 8-year-old spirit has.
It's a surrender, it's hard. And again, I walked with her to confirm that she understands God loves this. We're all, you know, we are Jesus' church. He's our head. This will ultimately be for the good for everyone, even though it's hard and confusing. But I just, the beauty in that for me is as an 8-year-old, she understood. She understood that she loves her friends. We love this. Like she saw the love of the church and the people. But she comes to understand this is not what we want as just people, because we're content. We love people here. We're being loved here. But it was what Jesus wants. And so we want to follow him. And so it was just a great moment.
You know, the thing with that story too, I think it's important because and we talked about this at one point as a team, that often people also have wounds and, or do legitimately struggle with trust because people have invoked God's name to do things that weren't right. They have said, well, that's just what God's telling me to do. Or that's just what God's calling me to do. And so sometimes there's this pain and this, well, just by invoking that phrase, someone might struggle with trust with that. And we can understand that. We've been in church ministry long enough. Mm-hmm. We know that is a true story too, that has happened. But as you're telling the story about Carter, I couldn't help but think about the faith of a child. She didn't have those wounds yet. And the wounds are real, right? They happened. People abuse that name of God often to do things that are selfish and hurtful. But at the same time, the faith of the child that said, but I know Jesus also leads us. I know that even though I'm hurting and I don't want to tell my friends, I know Jesus might ask us to do something that's, like you said a minute ago, that might be hurtful, that the absence of pain is not the absence of God's leading. The presence of pain is not, sorry, thank you. The presence of pain doesn't mean God's not leading. It means that God's leading to something that's harder than we might normally have to walk through.
Well, and you know, I just feel challenged as we're feeling our grief to know that you and yours are too. And I want to be praying for your three, because the evil one wants to use this. And especially your Eden is at an age where transition is hard and fitting in is hard. And so I don't want her to have soul wounds that when someone says I'm called, that it wrecks my life and it's bad. It's so we need to be praying as a body for the harlots.
Eden feels it harder. You got time for two more stories?
Yeah, I do. Okay. I think it's good. I know it's been just healing for me. And so, and I want you guys to know that, like, I've really wrestled. There's been a lot of tears. There have been moments where
A lot of tears.
And they're right here on my eyes. Where I've felt angry. I have abandonment issues for those who know my story. But I'm so thankful that God has been faithful in my 56 years to do some healing. He's also showing me there's another layer of the onion that he wants to heal. And so anyway, all of that to say, it's been good for me to see your lip quiver and your eyes sad, knowing that I'm hurting, knowing that we're hurting. And I want that for our people too, to see the Thad that loves them, because I know you love us.
Yeah. There's no question.
Tell that story. You said you had a couple more stories you want to say.
I know, I do. I'm wrestling with affection here on what Tammy needs.
I think I represent a lot of people.
If we were standing though, it's like I want to hug her right now, but it's not that time. You know, I'm one by one going to different staff at different times and seeing how they are. But I have not come to you yet. And so you haven't had your hug yet. But that time's coming. But in this moment, it's like, if I wasn't sitting here with a kid, the thing hanging down my, you know,
But that's what I want them to see is your love for me. Because if they haven't experienced that love because you haven't been there long enough, that is the pasture that they have, is that you love us.
Yeah. I'll hug you after the film.
Okay.
Because I don't know, I feel like in this moment I'm maybe I'm not just hearing the heart that Tammy has for everyone, but I'm also hearing Tammy's heart. That Tammy needs to know that her pastor loves her. And he does. But she needs to know that.
And I believe that.
Mm-hmm. Good. I'm glad.
But I think they also need to hear your pain in it too.
Yeah.
Not just our pain, because we all are all feeling our pain.
Yeah,
because it's new.
And we're taking our time here telling stories. Because on a Sunday morning, I'm going to walk through some of this stuff too. But this is relaxed. This is nice. Where there is a framework, there is a narrative to help us see how God works in these ways. But for today, it's more. And I've got to encourage people to come here, right, and watch this too. Okay, so you still want here at least, okay?
Okay, all right.
So there we go. All right. So, for example, with Rachel, right? You know, it's so important for the pastor's wife, right? Mm-hmm. You know, she's ingrained too. So, and again, I won't say names because it's not my place to say names. But so I was coming home. I can't remember if it was this. Yeah, it would have been this week.
Monday, this, I think Monday.
Yeah, this particular person that we had permission to go to just ahead of the video, right, to communicate with. And I just remember I was calling my wife to check on her. And I remember, the first time I called her, she didn't answer, but I was like, okay, I probably know what's happening right now. But she told me later, we were in the middle of a 3-hour cry session. Mm-hmm. Right. But then the heart of this person was so golden. This person was like, well, I guess we can move there, you know, but then was talking about, you know, helping her with boxes and different things. It was a beautiful moment. But so this person's husband called during this, heard the upsetness and crying, happened to be standing with another individual who was also in the know, personal leadership, and so that person kind of told him, because this person was like, something's wrong with my wife. Oh. I don't know what's happening, but something's wrong with my wife. Mm-hmm. And but I just to show that just goes to show though that connection and love that's going on there. Okay, so one more story just from me personally is so the Wednesday night, obviously I'd let leadership know, and we're still working through certain things, but how do we communicate lovingly to the congregation, and how do we shepherd and lead through this? And so Wednesday night after services were over, and even in the Wednesday afternoon, people were just being awesome and helping and moving things. And so Wednesday night, we've got kids everywhere. We've got families everywhere. And I'm, yes, we're moving tables and chairs and stuff like this, but we're also like cracking jokes and having fun, and just, it's just one of those beautiful moments, right? Mm-hmm. Where particularly in my situation of knowing what's coming, it's really just hitting on me. Mm-hmm. And just struggle. So obviously it was one of those nights that I wasn't sleeping. And I remember it got so bad, just that soul wrenching there, that I had to just get out of the house and go and cry. And so I remember I was in Holman somewhere. I don't even remember what streets I'm on, because I'm driving, I'm just exiting. There's two, a couple of different exits. I'm just exiting and turning and going, and no one's out there. And I probably was weeping a little bit, but just weeping and crying over my care for the people and just the idea of hurting them. Mm-hmm. And knowing that in a very real way, how are they going to understand that, to your point, this is not easy. How are they going to understand that this is God's will? Because I don't want to hurt them. Mm-hmm. I care for them. Is there any way that I can communicate this that would not bring hurt? And there's just no way. There's just no way. And so I'm having, I think I waited all the way until about 5:50, 5:30, something like that, before I started texting others and just sharing my heart about how hard this is to leave. And man, I am wrestling with this knowledge and calling, but just almost to this place of saying, I'm willing to give all that up because the thought of hurting people here is so great. Mm-hmm. Now I had wonderful counselors and very patient mm-hmm. people in my life that were willing to talk about that dynamic with me mm-hmm. And ultimately having God's will be done. But those are that's just another one of those examples. And, you know, and I still have examples that are going to be absolutely gut wrenching. So obviously the video goes out on Monday or Tuesday. Was it Tuesday?
Tuesday.
So phone calls and emails are coming in, and many of them are very loving and positive. But there's one particular individual who called me. And so this particular individual, I probably wasn't here a week or two. And I remember him calling the office and saying, hey, I got, you know, I'm thinking, we'll be watching online, doing some different things, and new pastor in, and we're thinking about coming to the church, but I've got some questions. Can I talk to the pastor? So, Michelle's like, oh, he's not in. Can I take the questions for you, or could mm-hmm. I try to answer? I only want to talk to the pastor, mm-hmm. right? When you hear that, like some red flags go off, right? You're like, okay, you understand wanting to talk to the pastor, but if you've got questions about the church, I mean, many people can mm-hmm. answer that questions. This guy, this family is just so great, right?
Yeah.
And we actually become very good friends and been in a small group together and all that kind of stuff. And so yesterday, I get the phone call and I get the message saying, call this person back. I'm like,
this is gonna be tough.
I can't imagine this conversation. This is going to be so, it's not dreadful in the fact that I think this person's going to be upset or mean.
But you're going to feel your friend's pain.
Yeah. It's going to be that. It's going to mm-hmm. be that. And I think, and again, you can, I'll share one more story. Okay. So my dad, for example, love my dad, great guy, super sacrificer, all this kind of thing. But to my knowledge, to my memory, I never heard him say, I love you or I'm proud of you until I graduated college. Mm. Okay. And that can have an impact on me. It can be a soul wound. It can do these things. Now, again, I knew he loved me, but I always thought it just wasn't who my dad was. It just wasn't his makeup. And a piece of me thought, you know, that's kind of cold. Like I know, I see him sacrifice for other people's families. I know he's a loving man. I know he's like, that is one of my favorite memories of my father, how he would not only sacrifice for his family, but he would have people in his business that would maybe do some dumb things, mm-hmm. blow their Christmas bonus, and then my dad would go and give money out of his own pocket. I saw him do this, mm-hmm. not because of the knucklehead that spent and blew his Christmas bonus doing stupid stuff, but so that those babies mm-hmm. didn't miss Christmas mm-hmm. and would give. Okay. What I discovered later on is it wasn't that my father had a cold side to him. It was that he was so sensitive that he had to guard against it. And it was hard for him to allow emotions to be there. He thought or knew in the moment there's times where he needs to control it, but he just couldn't be expressive until later on in life when he went through some heart attacks and some different things and he realized, hey, you know, be expressive. So I know I see my dad and me in some ways where some people might think he's very compartmentalized or he's just a guy and he doesn't feel it the same way. Well, he does feel the same way. He might even feel it more than you think, but because he does feel it so deeply, he's not going to let it rise to the surface as often because he's not going to be able to control it.
So can we tell people that we see tears in your eyes right now?
Well, they probably, I don't know, depending on how close the camera gets. But
I think that's so important.
It's hard. Like, so, mm-hmm. you know, we've had several conversations, right? And you've been a part of me relaying the information at different levels. Mm-hmm. But the hardest moment is the one-on-one with someone I care about in pain, mm-hmm. right? That's where things rise to the surface. Because I will have these moments. But when I'm rightly or wrongly, when I'm trying to be strong for those that I'm hurting, mm-hmm. And I'm trying to hold it together, and there's places where that's just simply not right. But those are the moments where I think it's most challenging. So I imagine there will be certain phone calls I'll have. There'll be certain moments on Sunday morning. There may even be moments. So even here, when I was just talking about that walk I take every Sunday morning from mm-hmm. my office, the moment I hit those double doors mm-hmm. and I turn that corner, all these smiling faces, mm-hmm. I probably have 20 hugs and knuckles and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff before I ever even make the mm-hmm. worship center, you know? Mm-hmm. And so many of those people, they're new. They're new since me, right? They're like, don't get me wrong, a pastor loves his church family, right? But there's also, you worry about hurting those that came after you got here too. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys were here before me. Mm-hmm. You have loving, vested relationships mm-hmm. and many people, right? You're going to be safe. But there's also something to that feeling that the pastor has with some of those people who came while I was here.
Are the babies strong enough to make it?
I don't want to say that because it's going to sound like they're, but it's like, so they came here during this time. Have they connected in small groups? Mm-hmm. Have they developed relationships? Like, for example, our safety and security leader, Brent, right? Mm-hmm. He's awesome guy. He's super connected. I mean, I love Brent. Brent already said, dude, I'm in tears. I love you, man. May God bless you wherever you go. You know, mm-hmm. Great guy, right? But he's connected. Like, he knows, like, he's going to be okay. Mm-hmm.
He's got a great small group. Group.
Yeah. I don't even, like, I know he's going to be okay. But what about those ones that have come in that aren't as connected?
You know, that just have not been here long enough to be.
Yeah. Just haven't been here. No. And so my hope is that if they are not used to, or they've not been through a pastoral transition, mm-hmm. That they'll be willing to, you know, receive others reaching out to them in connection mm-hmm. and take that.
I mean, the one thing that I have appreciated about you being our pastor mm-hmm. and is you've really given us Jesus. And mm-hmm. so I know as the ladies and I are studying Exodus and when, you know, we know that God is going to deliver the people and they're so excited, they fall down and they worship him. And then Moses and Aaron go to the Pharaoh, and then life gets a little bit tricky. And so when Moses runs to God, God doesn't say, you know what? It's going to be okay. I've got you. You're going to do this. God tells him who he was yesterday, who he is today, and who he's going to be tomorrow. Given us that.
Well, it's a great part of the story. So mm-hmm. and I frame this work through Moses, right? Mm-hmm. Moses didn't take him to the promised land. No, he didn't. But he helped them to see God. Mm-hmm. He helped them a little bit along the way.
And you've helped us to see things. God.
And so I don't know who takes us into that. And there was a part in here, and David and I talked about this, you know, these dreams that I have for Bethany. Yes, so many things we've seen come true, right? But there's mm-hmm. still more dreams and hopes that we have. Mm-hmm. And I still believe that those things are going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's just going to happen without me. Mm-hmm. And there's a story I'm going to tell Sunday about one of my mentors who had a similar thing happen to him. Mm-hmm. Where unbelievably mm-hmm. God called him away. And anyways, it's a great story. I'm going to save that one for Sunday, but there's a dynamic where, I fully believe, I think I mentioned this in the little short video we sent out. I fully believe that the work, when I came in, I saw God working and moving through the leaders and staff. Mm-hmm. I said this, you probably remember this.
I quoted this actually already to some people.
I was to come in to grab that rope or to be a part of where God's already taken you.
That's right.
And to just help you keep moving that direction. Mm-hmm. Now,
remember you saying join with what God is already doing.
Join mm-hmm. with what God's already doing. And what's amazing to me is like, never in a million years would I have guessed it would have been to help in this time. But the next person is going to see, look at what God is already doing. That doesn't change what God is doing, you know, because God's saying, I am, you know, who I am mm-hmm. and God going and, mm-hmm. you know, whoever in this case would be a Joshua type figure, whatever, you know, however that happens. that mission, that movement of God in Bethany is not stopping. Mm-hmm. It's keep going. It's just Amen. In God's providence. I'm only going to get to see it from a distance, staying on a mountain through technology online, right?
And so if you're watching this podcast and you haven't got a chance to see Sunday's message, mm-hmm. Make sure you do that, because this is all interconnected and a beautiful story that we couldn't fully tell Sunday morning. We can't fully tell now. There's more we wish we could tell, but you know, we got this limited time, but
we got to sit in it for a moment. Sunday we can't sit.
Yeah, this is so sweet. And so make sure I just want to make sure you see both, because it's the connection of these two. And I think also the next week, as I'm looking forward to what Thad's also, which was already planned to preach, it was already in our series, but I think it's timely for what, as God has been working to where we are right now, timely for a beautiful message as well. So.
Well, thank you for joining us. My prayer is that you know that we love you, we love one another, and I hope that was communicated today.
Amen.
Thank you.